This will be an interesting conversation because we're talking with Mark Ayers, Illinois Director of the Humane Society of the United States, about two completely different topics. Mark, I want to talk about the ban you led in us getting the state of Illinois where no dogs or cats can be sold at pet stores. We'll do that in a few minutes. But first, you've been everywhere. You name the national news cable network or television network, you've been on it. You've been in the Springfield newspaper. I know you've been in many other newspapers and publications talking about your mom. And your mom tragically just passed away. My condolences from COVID-19 caused by the SARS coronavirus. But you've had something to say about the cause of her death.
Yes, thanks for having me on, Steve. It's good to be here under the circumstances and good to be on your show. I've been all over the place, as you know, and some of your listeners may have seen my name or heard me or seen me interview on TV talking about my mom and talking about our family's experience with this pandemic. And it's been just, you know, short of amazing, you know, to put it in an odd context, that the coverage that this has gotten, almost a worldwide response in some cases. Well, I've gotten comments from viewers in Ireland and the UK and parts of Asia and Australia, offering their condolences to me about my mother. And, you know, she put up a very long battle with COVID-19, but a month and a half in the hospital and ultimately succumbed to the acute respiratory distress syndrome that was attributed to the COVID-19 virus in her body and passed away on September 3rd. But our message has been a message of hope and trying to convince more people, certainly Americans, to get vaccinated and to continue wearing your mask and continue to social distancing, especially for those who are immunocompromised like my mother.
Well, your mom was vaccinated and your mom went on a trip right before she got sick. Where was that? Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi was one of those states.
Yeah, it was a trip to Mississippi, and so that was in late July. And my family and I, all of us, so the immediate family, my mother, my father, my sister, and I, we were all fully vaccinated around the same time in early March with Moderna. And we were so excited. I mean, we couldn't wait to get that second dose. And, you know, we had done everything that was asked of us by medical professionals. We're a family that has always and still do believe in science and the medical advice of professionals. And we did everything by the book, you know, that was required of us. And so when we got that vaccine, we just were so happy to finally get it and maybe go back to normal as a family and resume normal activities. And you fast forward to the middle to end of July, where the vaccination rates in Illinois were just phenomenal. I mean, the state was looking very good. We had very low infection rates, high vaccination rates, and especially in the county in which we live, which is Sangamon County, those numbers were looking even better in parts of central Illinois. And it kind of came around a window where things were on the up and up. We had been hearing from medical professionals that if you're fully vaxxed, you don't have to wear your mask anymore. And that's around the time that they decided to go visit a friend in Mississippi who lost her husband about a month prior. And so they had went down to go console her and get the house in order for her and deal with some grief that she was experiencing. And around that time, the Delta variant was just kind of becoming a thing. And it wasn't really known about that much, and breakthrough cases were next to zero. And so although we were worried about Mississippi being a hotbed of infection with their low vaccination rates and high infection rates, the doctors told us and told my mother that it was safe to go down. And I wish in hindsight that we had gotten a second opinion, because it wasn't safe, and both my mom and my dad were COVID positive when they came back at the end of July.
Yeah. So the good news is that they did everything they were supposed to do. But then despite that, your mom did get sick. And as a backdrop to the story to help us better understand, I think it's important also to understand that your mom did have another medical condition that impacted her immune system, particularly medications she was taking to deal with that condition.
Yeah, that's correct. My mom had been battling rheumatoid arthritis, a pretty severe case of rheumatoid arthritis for well over a decade, and been taking all sorts of immunosuppressants to suppress her immune system so that her body would stop attacking her joints. And she was taking a specific drug every 6 months via an infusion. And that drug works by lowering her immune system so that it doesn't attack her own body. And that specific drug, you know, we're largely suspecting was responsible for her lower immune system and kind of creating a pathway for this virus to enter her body and completely take it over. And the vaccine obviously worked very well for my father, who did get the COVID-19, but really had what I would call a case of the sniffles, and was over it in a matter of a few days. But my mother, who was immunocompromised, it every symptom that we see associated with COVID-19, she had it, and she had it on the way back from that trip on the car ride home. The extreme fatigue and the joint pain, the extreme chills, nausea. I mean, just every classic symptom that we've seen my mother had, and made several emergency room visits. And ultimately was admitted to the ER, or the ICU, at the beginning of August, and was, you know, eventually placed on a ventilator. But none of the things that they were doing for my mother helped, and she passed away on September 3rd, unfortunately.
So what your message has been, and the reason why I've read that Governor Pritzker picked up the phone and called you, our U.S. Senator Dick Durbin wrote you a note and included information about your mom in his newsletter, is because you feel, and I would assume you're not alone, medical experts would agree that if there was less virus in the community, significantly less, and there could be anywhere if people are vaccinated, then your mom wouldn't have gotten sick.
That's right. I've kind of been a broken record on a lot of these different interviews and radio shows. And my message has been the same message all along. It's I'm not trying to issue blame so much. Blame it's a strong word, and I have every right to feel that others, you know, I could blame others for my mother's death, but that's not what the message I want to be. What I do want the message to be is to hold a certain segment of this population, certainly in this country, responsible for where we're at today as a country facing this pandemic. There were specific actions that could have been taken early on the onset of this pandemic, before there was even a vaccine, and that was social distancing and wearing a face mask in public. Those two things were required of us, and a segment of our country's population refused to do it. And they downplayed it. They considered it a joke. They attached political items to this virus, and they refused to do things that was going to halt the virus, stop it from spreading. And because of their inaction, the virus mutated, and it kept mutating and mutating. And now it's the Delta variant, and now soon it's going to be the Lambda, and it's going to be something else after that. And so our message has been to hold those people responsible for where we're at today as a country, and to please, especially for the immunocompromised, like my mom, please get a vaccine, and please continue wearing your mask, and please, as much as you can, continue to social distance until more science is readily available about how the immunocompromised are impacted by this disease.
Well, you know, in fairness, the Delta variant didn't just pop up in the U.S. I believe it came from India. But the point is that if the virus can replicate, the more it can replicate, the more it will change along the way in its replication. It's what coronaviruses do. I know that because I know what coronaviruses do from the world of dogs and cats. And there are all these mutations that happen, and hopefully not significant mutations. The Delta variant was somewhat significant, but ultimately Dr. Fauci was just on saying that he wouldn't be surprised if there was a variant that eluded the vaccine, which would bring us all back to square one. And it's all, at least in this country, where a vaccine is available, still people are not being vaccinated. When we come back, Mark, I want to hear about your mom, what she was like. And I also want to talk to you about what we've done here in Illinois. No dogs, no cats sold at pet stores. It is now a law Governor Pritzker signed, fifth state in the country to do that. Why am I smiling? Why is that important? Mark Ayers from the Humane Society of the United States will explain when we come back. Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. Remember composer Nelson Riddle? We'll talk with him about his... I don't think we can do that. He passed away years ago. We are talking to his biographer, Jeff Littlefield. I'll tell you, it's one of those days. Name of the book, Music with a Heartbeat. He worked, of course, most notably with Frank Sinatra for many, many years. Sinatra would come on stage and say, the first words out of his mouth. I've saw Sinatra a couple times at the Chicago Theater. How lucky was I, right? And he would say immediately, my conductor tonight, Mr. Nelson Riddle. On the phone right now with me is Mr. Mark Ayers, director for Illinois of the Humane Society of the United States. Mark, we're talking about the passing of your mom and how your mom was vaccinated for COVID-19, but it was one of those breakthrough cases, probably as a result of drugs she was taking for rheumatoid arthritis, but also a result of so many in the community not being vaccinated. Doctors, I'm sure, would agree with you about this. I suspect you've gotten pushback from what we call the internet because you've been so high profile about all this. Everything from USA Today to Good Morning America to CNN, and the list goes on and on and on of where you've been. How did this publicity come about?
Oh, it's been crazy, Steve. I think it all started with the obituary itself. My mom's obituary was written primarily by my sister. And when I proofread it, I agreed that we needed to take a strong tone and send a message through her obituary about the unvaccinated and the unmasked, about this pandemic. And that in itself was getting a lot of eyeballs and a lot of attention. And then it was picked up locally here in Springfield in the local paper, the State Journal Register, who did a story on that. And after that story came out, it basically went global. And as you mentioned, the reactions have been, a lot of them have been wonderful and amazing and positive. I've had people send me messages saying that because of our story, they're also going to get vaccinated now, or they're going to have a loved one get fully vaccinated, or they're going to continue wearing their mask again. It's been awesome. People have sent me pictures of their vaccination card.
Wow.
Showing that they just got vaxxed and the date.
Good for you.
And I've also, it's been cool. And I've had the opposite. The interweb is a fun place of some hostile activity. And I've gotten a lot of very nasty messages from people who are laughing at my situation and blaming my mother and saying very mean things, but I won't give them any attention because I think our message is working. And I think that, one person or many people getting vaxxed because of our story are going to be lives saved. And as long as those lives are saved, I feel that my mother's legacy can continue on through them and through us.
Tell me about your mom, Candace Ayers.
She's such a good woman. I can't believe that she's passed. I miss her so much. She was 66 years old. She was a fantastic mother to my sister and I. She was an amazing wife of 43 years to my father, Terry. And I think one of the things that my mom was so excited about and truly lived for, aside from her family, was her grandkids. And my sister is the proud mother of paternal triplets who are 5 years old. Two girls and a boy, Andy, Charlotte, and Daniel. My mom, we called her Gaggy. That's what the kids called her, Gaggy. She just loved being a grandma. She lived for it. She loved going over to my sister's and babysitting. You go back the last 5 years on her social media, it's pretty much all pictures of her and her grandkids. She just lived for them. And now they know that the grandkids are asking where grandma's at, and we've had to break that news to them. And it's just been hard to communicate that to them, who don't really understand why grandma's not coming back over anymore. you know, but aside from that, she was just a woman. She loved living life, and she was a very opinionated woman. She was my biggest fan, you know, at the Humane Society of the United States. She became an animal advocate through my work and employment at HSUS, and I feel like I lost my number one fan, but I know she's still watching over us, so that keeps me pretty happy.
Well, unfortunately, I'm watching over the clock. We only have about a minute and a half here. Illinois just became the fifth state to say no dogs or cats can be sold at pet stores, stopping the puppy mill pipeline into Illinois. Explain why this is such a good thing.
The fifth state in the entire country, there's going to be over 20 pet stores that will be impacted by this new law. Steve, the governor, Pritzker, just signed at the end of August. The bill will become effective at the end of February. They had 180 days to comply with this new law or face severe penalties. This bill, this law is going to save lives. You know, if you can't sell puppy mill puppies in pet stores, this is going to completely shutter the puppy mill to pet store pipeline throughout the country and especially right here in the Midwest.
And you didn't work on this alone. You work with legislators, and I think this is the important part, from both sides of the aisle.
We had a Republican sponsor in the House. We had a Democratic sponsor in the Senate. We had 3/5 majorities in each chamber that voted in favor of this legislation, Republicans and Democrats as co-sponsors and chief co-sponsors. There was no left and no right on this animal welfare issue. It was a matter of it being right or wrong, and they chose right. And so we're so happy to be the fifth state on this, and the work will continue on other animal welfare issues going forward for dogs and cats and breeding standards going forward. But this was a major step in the right direction, cutting off the puppy mill to pet store pipeline right here in the state of Illinois.
I'm sure your mom, Candace, would be so incredibly proud, and I know people who work with you, me included, Mark, are so incredibly proud, and again, my condolences.
Thanks so much, Steve. Your advocacy was a big part of this bill becoming law, so thank you.
Thank you. That's Mark Ayers, Illinois Director, Humane Society of the United States.